it's on, isn't it? Yes, it is. I'm not speaking loudly enough. Let's see. Let's try it again. One switch more?
Slide all the way to the side.
I think I have it there. No?
I'm hearing it through the sound.
All right. Where are we? Still not? Now? Still not? Okay. Technical difficulties. All right. Am I on now?
Yeah.
Okay. Welcome. And welcome to this Pentecost Sunday. Pentecost, of course, one of the three great festivals of the church. We'll talk about it a little bit later. There are also a number of things that you need to know in terms of the life of the congregation and what is going on here. The first thing is this mic on or not? Yeah, it should be on. Why
it is
it not? But it's not picking up from here. It's not picking up from the microphone. Does that have anything to do with it? It shows nothing. And it showed a red the last time I tried. Is this the new battery? All right. Let's see.
No, I could hear you when you tipped your head forward.
Yeah, but it isn't, even when I have it on, here, it won't react to anything. So I think it's advanced magic that needs to be happening, probably with an outsourced energy source, like, you know, Holy Spirit batteries or something to that effect. How about you do that? No, wait a second. I think it might be it. Start all over. But one of the things that you need to know is, which you probably know better than I do, there is a community vacation Bible school every year here in Buffalo. And this year it is at Grace Community Fellowship. Am I right about this? The exact name. They need a few items per church. And I'm just going to read them so that you get a clue about them. Zipper bag sandwich size, 12-ounce plastic cups, 5-ounce plastic cups, small paper plates, paper napkins, plastic knives, plastic spoons, hand sanitizers, and hula hoops. And there is a list of all the things and how many per church that is participating is needed. So if you can provide any of those, I think the probably easiest way is to get it to you, Sherry, right?
Sure.
Yeah. Having that run together in my office might not be the, you know, best use of my desperate efforts to stay organized, which are not that great. All things considered. So, do we have Miranda Wagner here? Oh, we do. Very good. All right. You are graduating or have just graduated, and we are going to celebrate you in the coffee hour afterwards, right out there. Congratulations. Do you know what you're going to do? Wow. That's very impressive. Thank you. Hope we have some more conversations afterwards. Yes.
And they're going to have an open house from 11 to 2 out at their place. You go out of French Creek Road and you go past the what estates?
Mountain View Estates.
Mountain View Estates is the next left there, and there'll be balloons by the highway. The whole congregation is invited to come out from 11 to 2.
This afternoon.
Yeah, today.
Very good. Thank you. See, I didn't know that. But there is this afternoon at 3 o'clock, if I am informed correctly, a anniversary committee meeting. So have cake here, go to the party, come back to the anniversary committee meeting. Make sure you don't have any other plans for this Sunday except for church. Next week, I will need to be gone, and that is because I had, before I ever heard about you, a preaching commitment down in Denver, which I have asked the congregation, the council, if I may please honor that. Pastor Orwick is going to fill in for me. I am very grateful for that. So we will see each other then at the very beginning of June again. And at that time, I would like to start an adult forum on the ELCA paper on women and justice. This was not my first choice to do, but it was advised to me by the bishop. So we are going to do our best to work on that and to just give him some responses that are going to blow him off his office chair. That's my goal. Let's see. Are there any other announcements for the good of the church? Yes.
I think everybody knows that Aileen has broken her leg, and she's not going to be available to be an assistant minister. And so if there's anybody, especially for next week when she was supposed to be assistant minister, that would like to volunteer for that job for a while, it would probably be like once a month, once every other month that we could use an extra one. Thank you.
And last piece of announcements on my end is you need to be aware of the fact that if someone is missing in worship, I don't know. You will need to tell me. I don't know who is supposed to be here. You know, this is sort of new ground for me. And so if you are coming to me and saying, you know, have you checked with XYZ because he hasn't been in worship for the last 6 weeks, I would have to say I didn't know that he was there 7 weeks ago. So please keep me informed. Look out for each other and let me know where I need to do any follow-up. I've started to do a couple of the home communions and try to sort of also keep up with the pastoral care responsibilities here, but I don't know what they are unless you are going to bring them to me. All right. Any other announcements for the good of the body, the church? Yes.
Let's sing happy birthday to Jim. Isn't it his birthday tomorrow?
Jim Kelly.
Jim Kelly. Oh, Jim Kelly. Right. Okay.
Yeah, sure. Oh.
'Minds to worship God. Will you please rise? We have gathered here in the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Joined to Christ in the waters of baptism, we are clothed with God's mercy and forgiveness. Let us give thanks for the gift of baptism. We give you thanks, O God, for in the beginning your Spirit moved over the waters, and by your word you created the world, calling forth life in which you took delight. Through the waters of the flood you delivered Noah and his family. Through the sea you led your people Israel from slavery into freedom. At the river your son was baptized by John and anointed with the Holy Spirit. By water and your word, you claim us as daughters and sons, making us heirs of your promise and servants of all. We praise you for this gift of water that sustains life And above all, we praise you for the gift of new life in Jesus Christ. Shower us with your Spirit and renew our lives with your forgiveness, grace, and love. To you be given honor and praise through Jesus Christ our Lord, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, now and forever.
Amen.
Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Mercy on us, Lord.
and your Spirit brings truth to the world. Send us this Spirit. Transform us by your truth and give us language to proclaim your gospel. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated.
First reading is from Acts 2, 1 through 21. When the day of Pentecost had come, the apostles were all together in one place, and suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak in other languages, as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in our own languages, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power. All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, 'What does this mean?' But others sneered and said, 'They are filled with new wine.' But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, 'Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk, as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my Spirit, and they shall prophesy, and I will show portents in the heaven above, and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We'll say Psalm 1104, 24 through 34, responsibly. I'm sorry, that was 104. There was an extra one in there. How manifold are your works, O Lord! In wisdom you have made them all. The earth is full of your creatures.
Yonder is the sea, great and wide, with its swarms too many to number, living things both small and great.
There go the ships to and fro, and Leviathan, which you made for the sport of it.
All of them look to you to give them their food in due season.
You give it to them, they gather it. You open your hand, and they are filled with good things.
When you hide your face, they are terrified. When you take away their breath, they die and return to their dust.
You send forth your Spirit, and they are created, and so you renew the face of the earth.
May the glory of the Lord endure forever. O Lord, rejoice in all your works.
You look at the earth and it trembles. You touch the mountains and they smoke.
I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will praise my God while I have my being.
May these words of mine please God. I will rejoice in the Lord.
Bless the Lord, O my soul. Alleluia.
Our second reading will be from Romans 8, 22 through 27. We know that the whole creation has been groaning in labor pains until now, and not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly while we wait for adoption, the redemption of our bodies. For in hope we were saved, now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what is seen? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought. But that very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. And God, who searches the heart, knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Jesus Christ, according to St. John, the 15th and 16th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said, "When the Advocate comes, whom I will send to you from my Father, the Spirit of truth who comes from the Father, he will testify on my behalf. You also are to testify because you have been with me from the beginning. I did not say these things to you from the beginning because I was with you, but now I am going to him who sent me. Yet none of you asks me, 'Where are you going?' Because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your hearts. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will prove the world wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because they do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I am going to the Father and you will see me no longer. About judgment, because the ruler of this world has been condemned. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. For all he will not speak on his own, but will speak whatever he hears, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me because he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. For this reason I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you." This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you,
Christ. Please be seated. And I invite the children to come forward. Come on up.
Good morning.
So, if I say to you, "Gestern Nachmittag bin ich spazieren gegangen, denn ich war drüben in Kanzler und da hat es viel Spaß gemacht, da unten am Fluss entlang zu laufen." What do you think? Did I just tell you something? Did I ask you to do something? Did I ask you a question? What did I just do? It's your best guess. Question. I just told you what I did yesterday afternoon. Not that you greatly care about, but I'm trying to make a point. And that is, if we can't talk to each other, we don't know what we want from each other. And we don't know how to communicate, right? Yeah. And so, what we talk about today, when we say Pentecost, which is a just funny big word,
but has to do with the fact that at one point, God made it possible for people to understand each other. Not necessarily to speak in your own language and have someone else learn the language, but for them to speak the language that you knew and you understood. So, how many of you think you are learning foreign languages in school sooner or later? Probably in middle school.
Mm-hmm.
What do you usually learn? Well, in terms of, you know, is it French? Is it Latin? Is it German? Is it Spanish? Is it... You have options. Okay, very cool.
Yeah.
So let's see how many people here among the adults speak another language.
Should we look around?
No one. Oh, okay, interesting.
No habla español.
Yeah.
What's that?
No habla español.
That's about as much as I know in Spanish, unfortunately, yes. Yeah, but if you know how to speak another language, you can go into all kinds of countries. And what you can do is you can actually communicate with the people who are there. And so what God is trying to create is community so that we can talk to each other, so that we can understand one another. And that is the great miracle, because way, 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 way back in the Old Testament, there's a story where God is breaking a common language. And now the language is back. So not that it is all one, but that you can understand each other in what the others are saying. That's a pretty amazing thing, I think. Mostly because before I could graduate from high school, I had to learn 5 foreign languages. I'm only speaking really one, but we had a lot of different languages because I grew up in a part of the world where the next country that speaks a different language is much closer to us than Montana is to you. And so it was really essential for us and for people who live and grow up in Europe to learn different languages. So language is the big thing about Pentecost. Understanding one another and listening to one another as we are community together, because we have a language in which we understand and speak and live our lives. So that is Pentecost for all of us this morning, and we celebrate it with red color and the spirit and the fire of God who creates community for us. So let's pray, shall we? Dear God, we thank you for languages and diversity, and we thank you that we can overcome it with your spirit and with your help. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Cool. Thank you. It's much easier. I used to be in a congregation that was so large that when the younger kids came forward, they couldn't find their parents again. And then you needed to help them out and figure out where they needed to go and where the next stop was going to be for them. So this makes it a lot easier, I just realized. So let's pray together. May God grant that only the truth will be spoken here, and only the truth will be heard. In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
So yes, today is Pentecost, the third of the 3 major festivals of the church year. First, Christmas, when we celebrate the self-giving of God the Father in the Son Jesus. Easter, when we celebrate the self-giving of God the Father in the Son. And today, when we celebrate the self-giving of God in the Holy Spirit to the creation of community, pouring out over the disciples and overflowing to all bystanders, uncontrolled, uncontrollable, but an event so powerful that it made a group of hapless bumblers such witnesses to Jesus' resurrection that we stand in their footsteps still. We here, even at St. Luke's Lutheran Church in Buffalo, Wyoming, and in uncountable other churches in this part of the world and around the globe. Today, 2,000 years later. And according to the book of Acts, that day, that event, that outpouring of the Holy Spirit was not for the faint-hearted, like a rush of violent wind and divided tongues of fire. The Spirit descended on the heads of an amazed group of Jews, making them speak in ways so that all the bystanders understood them to speak in their own native language. And then you have that long list: Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Phrygia and Asia, Pontus and Pamphylia, Egypt, parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, and most likely a few Mexicans and Russians and Chinese and Iraqis, and even the Germans too. This Holy Spirit seemed to be a phenomenal interpreter of languages and traditions. And all could understand those on whom its fire burned in their own language, all of what was being said. And they realized that this event would lead to something big. That in this event, a movement was born, a church where everyone was included, where everyone could have a place at the table, where all languages, all traditions, all opinions, and all experiences would be honored and understood to contribute to the whole and complete picture. Not just the Jews only, not just the Danes only, nor just the Norwegians only, but all who happen to be addressed by that Spirit of God that day and in the centuries to come. This Pentecost is God's resounding yes to all that is community, to all that is greater than the individual. I trust you remember how this whole language and people not understanding one another had started. That it was at Babel, where people sought to build a tower to challenge God, or so at least the story goes in the book of Genesis. It had required community, this excessive and ambitious building project, community and cooperation and communication between nations and people to get a tower like that off the ground. And the story goes that God did not appreciate the challenge and confused the language of all who were building on it. And ever since, community, communication, and cooperation have been so difficult to come by. Pentecost is God's great reversal of that Babel story. And so it is tragic that we have come to individualize Pentecost and God's Holy Spirit to make it that private communication channel between me and God only. What the first Pentecost created was community. People who formerly couldn't hear, couldn't understand what the other was saying, now had found a way. And it wasn't a way of their own designing. It wasn't even a way of their own power with which that happened. It was God's doing that suddenly people who had never, ever been able to exchange a sentence before now could hear each other speak about the power of God in their lives. Which, when you think about it, is a pretty steep charge to carry for just one church festival among 52 Sundays in the year. The charge of creating community. A number of years ago, when I had been ordained for about 10 years, I whined to a colleague that considering that I am more than well supplied with most liturgical items on the church's color scheme, I couldn't find a red stole that seemed to symbolize what I thought Pentecost indicated, how many pieces are making up a whole. The color for Pentecost, of course, is red, a color which we only use for Pentecost, Reformation Sunday, and some feast days of martyrs. Compared to the other colors of the church year, it is barely used. But I've got to tell you, I was smart enough to whine my complaint to a colleague who is an expert and award-winning quilter, who said, "Fine, I need a cardigan. I'll quilt you a stole if you knit me a black cardigan." Which is how this, in my opinion, rather remarkable stole came to be. For those of you who are quilters, and I know there is a quilting group in this congregation, for those of you who know quilting, I don't need to say that this pattern is called, of all things, kaleidoscope. Countless little pieces of different shapes and sizes pieced together in changing arrangements so that together they make a whole. It's been quilted with expert care, I understand, so that all pieces fit and have a place, that all pieces work together and make a whole. Every year on Reformation Sunday and Pentecost, it is for me and for the congregation that I serve a visible and tangible image on what God sought to create on Pentecost. Something whole, something complete, something with very different people of different languages and traditions, gifted with different virtues and talents, and coming together and holding on for dear life so that together a pattern might emerge. So every time I wear it, I see it as an image of this and any other congregation that I have ever served, and so many that I have not yet. An image of you who are sitting here and of those of you who are not here. Because, of course, they are part of the overall pattern too. As well as those of you who spend your time and energy and financial resources on this place and those of you who at this time have to remain on the sidelines. Those of you who serve on the altar guild and teach Sunday school and play with children and sing in the choir, who visit the sick and make casseroles for those who are tired and hungry. Each one of you is a piece in the overall pattern. So this kaleidoscope is a pattern of any congregation, of the church as a whole, with larger and smaller participants all held together by thread and the imagination of a great designer who saw this pattern emerge and change and re-emerge in great and amazing and divine imagination. Pentecost is the feast of the Spirit that makes us who are little pieces whole, ties us together and holds us firm so that together we might be the people of God known as the church. Regardless of where you see yourself in this pattern at the moment, remember that, as in all kaleidoscopes, it changes. The patterns move. The pieces move, creating new patterns that will look equally beautiful and in which you will still have a place. Always we are held together by this great imagination of God, whose pattern emerges with and through us, either in this place or anywhere else where we find ourselves. It's God's gift through the Holy Spirit that none of these pieces shall ever be lost, none shall ever be forgotten, but that the pattern emerges fresh and new every day, not by our own power, but by the power of God, who holds all of us in this pattern, in any other pattern, together in great love and grace. Amen. words of the Nicene Creed, let us confess what we believe. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father, through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate, he suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Filled with the Holy Spirit, we join with the Church in every place, praying for the world that God so loves. Lord of life, you baptize your people with the fire of the Spirit. Grace your Church everywhere with your visions and dreams, so that as we testify, all will hear the gospel and call upon your saving name. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Your creating spirit renews the face of the earth. Bring to birth new life in the earth's lands, forms, and waters. Awaken us from the slumber of neglect to show tender care for our home. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Your spirit swept over the waters, and you created the human family. Now we are divided, scattered like dry bones. Connect the nations with the strength of the Holy Spirit, so that all will live in hope. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Your Spirit sighs with every need. Guide us in honoring the dignity of everyone and opening our lives to others. Pour your healing mercies into the lives of all who need your care, especially for those we name now. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Your Spirit has called and gathered this congregation into life in Christ. Help us in our weakness. Teach us to pray. Search our hearts and intercede for us, your beloved saints, according to your will. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
By your Holy Spirit, you have called and gathered people from every nation under heaven. Gather us with all the saints at the heavenly banquet that has no end. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
By the sure guidance of your Holy Spirit, O God, we lift up our prayers in trust and thanksgiving through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
And the peace of the Lord be with you always.
And also with you.
Let us exchange a sign of God's peace among us. Peace be with you. Peace be with you. We are doing this left-handed. We can do this. Peace be with you. Peace be with you.
Thank you.
Our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ. Fulfilling the promise of the resurrection, you pour out the fire of your Spirit, uniting in one body people of every nation and tongue. And so, with Mary Magdalene and all the witnesses of the resurrection, with earth and sea and all their creatures, and with angels and archangels, cherubim and seraphim, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Amen.
universe declares your praise. Beyond the stars, beneath the sea, within each cell, with every breath we praise you, O God. Generations bless your faithfulness. Through the water, by night and day, across the wilderness, out of exile, into the future, we bless you, O God. We give you thanks for your dear Son at the heart of human life, near to those who suffer, beside the sinner among the poor, and here with us now. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks. He broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And again, after supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." So as we remember him in the breaking of the bread and the pouring of the wine, we remember him with the words he taught us to pray, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen." Taste and see that the Lord is good. Please be seated.
Thank you.
body of Christ, bread for your journey. Would you please rise? And let us pray.
God of abundance, with this bread of life and cup of salvation, you have united us with Christ, making us one with all your people. Now send us forth in the power of your Spirit, that we may proclaim your redeeming love to the world and continue forever in the risen life of Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine upon you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
Thank you. Amen.